In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What aileth thee, O sea, that thou fleddest, and thou Jordan, that thou didst turn back? That's a psalm verse that we'll be hearing a lot of tomorrow in the services, and also on Tuesday, on the feast itself, the Theophany. But what does that mean? That verse comes from Psalm 113 in the Septuagint, the first eight verses, and in the King James Bible, that would be Psalm 114. One thing that's peculiar about this particular psalm is that in the King James, the first eight verses is a separate psalm, whereas in the Septuagint, it's joined to the next psalm. But I'll talk about just the first eight verses today. When Israel went out of Egypt and the house of Jacob from among a barbarous people, Judea became his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. So this psalm is talking about the Exodus. After 400 years and more of slavery, many generations had been born in Egypt, lived their lives in bondage and died, and then their children did the same thing, and then the next generation did the same thing, and the promise that they would be delivered had not yet come to pass. But in God's time, his deliverance did come. As we mentioned the Sunday before Nativity, Abraham was told that it would be when the sin of the Canaanites had reached its fullness. That's when God would call them to come into the land and displace these people. When the Israelites went into Egypt, there were 70 Israelites that went into the land. After 400 years, out of Egypt came a great nation that was capable of taking over that land. And incidentally, today we celebrate the memory of the 70 apostles. And the number 70 is significant because there were 12 patriarchs that went into the land of Egypt, which represent the 12 apostles, but 70 people total, which represent the 70 apostles. And then when the Exodus took place, Moses found himself spending all of his time listening to the complaints of people about various issues. And his father-in-law told him, look, these people are going to wear you out. You need to get some help. So Moses appointed 70 elders to judge the people. And so that's, the symbolism of the 70 apostles. That's to show that the church is the new Israel. It's a new covenant, but also a continuation of the promises of the old covenant. The sea beheld and fled, Jordan turned back. So what is it referring to here? It's talking about the crossing of the Red Sea. The sea fled, beheld and fled, so the sea was parted, and Jordan turned back. When did that happen? That happened on the other end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness when the people actually came into the land of promise. And both of these occasions are types of baptism, so this represents baptism. The departure of Egypt represents the departure of sin, and the entering into the promised land represents the entering into the gifts of the kingdom of God. And so both of these things give us a picture of what it means to be baptized. The mountains skip like rams and the hills like lambs of flocks. So the very earth itself is depicted as rejoicing in the deliverance of Israel. But some people ask when they read this, well, when did this happen? We know when the sea fled and when Jordan was turned back, but where do we read about the mountains leaping like rams and like lambs? Well, it's a poetic expression, but as a matter of fact, we often see in Scripture where the very earth itself was shaken when God was manifested. We see that on Mount Sinai. We see that on many other occasions where God appeared. So the point is that the very creation itself obeys God, and it trembles in his presence. What aileth thee, O sea, that thou fleddest, and thou Jordan, that thou didst turn back? So the fact that was just stated above is now turned into a question. We're asking, why did the sea flee, and why was Jordan turned back? Ye mountains, ye skip like rams, ye hills like lambs of flocks. What ailed the Red Sea when the Israelites crossed over was that God commanded them. So figuratively, it appeared as if the sea had fled, but the sea obeyed God's command. God commanded it to be parted, and it was. And also, when God commanded the Jordan to to cease its flow. We're talking about a rushing river that's going down into the deepest place on the face of the earth, the Dead Sea, and suddenly the flow of the river stopped because God commanded it to do so. The very next verse tells us about this. At the presence of the Lord, the earth was shaken, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turneth the rocks into pools of water, and the precipice into fountains of water. So it's God's presence, God's power that makes this happen. So creation itself is submissive to the will of God. It does what God commands without questioning. And we're even given yet another example of how creation submitted to God's will with the fact that water was given to the people out of a rock. The people were in the desert. They were very thirsty. They complained to Moses, and God commanded Moses to strike a rock, and out of it flowed water. So the people were given what they needed. And the point here is that God always gives us what we need. We don't always think we have everything that we need because there are things that we want. There are things that we would like to have happen, but God always gives us what we need when we need it. For 400 years, the Israelites no doubt wanted to be free, and they prayed that they would be delivered from slavery. And for most of them that were in slavery over those 400 years, they did not live to see that promise answered. But if they were faithful to God, this was but a short time that was for their salvation, and they have all eternity to spend with the Lord, to reap the fruits of their labors. But they were given what they needed at the time. They were given, they were preserved, and were given the grace to preserve their faith in God's deliverance. And then it happened. It happened in a very short period of time. 400 years passed, but then in a very short period of time, these great wonders happened. God delivers them by signs and wonders. And when the people were thirsty in the desert, they didn't get water as soon as they wanted it, but they got it when they needed it. They didn't die of thirst. The question we should ask is, what ails us? Because I know that particularly with all the trouble that we see in society, that many of us are very concerned about the future. And I know that some people are so concerned that they have actually fallen into despair. Imagine if you had spent your life in Egypt in bondage all your life and you never got to see the end of that. You certainly would be tempted to despair. You would feel like it wasn't fair that you were in this situation. We don't know what the future holds for us, but we know that God knows what the future holds for us and that the future is in His hands. And we just have to trust that He's going to get us through this. As I mentioned before, as St. Paisius the Athenite said, the devil plows, but Christ plants the seeds. The devil can do whatever he wants, but God's never out of control for one millisecond. He knows exactly what's going on. He's going to work all things to His will. And as St. Paul tells us in the Epistle to the Philippians, he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean that we're all going to have a limousine or that we're all going to be living in a mansion, but it does mean that whatever we need, when we need it, we will get it. God will provide it to us. We may think we need more, but if we trust that God will give us what we need, He will give us everything that we need and get us through whatever we have to face. If you don't have what you think you want right now, it's because you don't need it just yet. You need to keep your eyes on Christ. As the prophet David also says in Psalm 33, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their supplication. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, utterly destroy the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cried, and the Lord heard them, and He delivered them out of all their tribulations. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a contrite heart, and He will save the humble of spirit. Many are the tribulations of the righteous, and the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. The Lord keepeth all their bones, not one of them shall be broken. The death of sinners is evil, and they that hate the righteous shall do wrong. The Lord will redeem the souls of His servants, and none of them will do wrong that hope in Him. Amen.